All right, praise the Lord for the rain. Amen. Right. The Bible says a rebellious people dwell in a dry land. And I know we've become a bunch of rebels, but I was kind of hoping that we could maybe get a couple of mercy drops. And it's good to see the rain. Yeah. Our Sunday school list this morning is kind of ironic, because this is October the 6th. We're teaching out of Proverbs chapter 6, and we will be getting to six things that the Lord hates. And I thought about that. I thought, Lord, this is a 666 Sunday school lesson. I'm just glad God's on the throne. I'm not worried about nothing. I've read the back of the book. And not only do we not lose, we're more than conquerors even before it ends. But praise God, I'm glad God's on the throne above all thrones. And even Nebuchadnezzar and all his power and pomp, who is that Lord that shall deliver you out of my hands, found out that God was bigger than him. And even when he was warned and didn't heed the warning, and the word of God came to him, even to thee, King of Nebuchadnezzar, as it pronounced, and he grasped like a cow, he went on to say that the Most High rules in the affairs of men, and those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. I'll just tell you right now, one way or another, you're going to understand God big enough to handle any situation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, we stopped last week. I believe we stopped at verse 14. I read it, but I didn't comment on it. And I said there's just so much in that verse, and I do want to lightly comment on it. Proverbs 6:14, forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Man, just contrary to God. We're a bunch of rebels. We come out of the womb speaking lies. We dare God to intrude in any way. I've heard it said, it's my life. I'll live it however I please. I hate to bust your bubble. But the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Every day we live is a precious promise from God. I spoke to a man yesterday, and I said, everybody didn't get up this morning. He said, that's right. And I said, praise God, we're some of the few that did. And this is the day the Lord's made. Let us rejoice, be glad therein. But that forwardness, that means stubbornness.
Right.
They love darkness rather than light, John 3 says. And it says, neither cometh they to the light. They get that forwardness in their heart. There'll be a lot of people, they might be rained out of what they're going to do today, but they won't take that for a reason to come to the house of God today.
No.
They got forwardness in their heart. They would do anything except go to the house of God and hear about the love of God, sing the songs of God, raise a hand up and worship God. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. I'm glad we got laws.
Yes.
One thing about laws, they help. I was in the parking lot yesterday at Rulers. And you know, out in that parking lot, there wasn't really no white lines, yellow lines, or nothing. And I seen the car at the other end, and no matter which way we turned, I finally was having to stop because we was going to hit head on. So you know what? I mean, you take that for granted, but you know, you get on the highway, and you got a right lane, and you got an other lane, and you got a line in between them, and then you got red lights, you got stop signs,
right.
You got all kind of things. We take that for granted, but they're there for our safety. They're there to help us to keep from running over one another. I heard when cars were first made, the first two cars he had head on. That's what I heard. I wasn't there, so that's just a report I got. But, we need laws. And we need laws enforced. And this verse says, he deviseth mischief continually. Man wants to try to find a way around the law. He wants to get a radar detector. He wants to somehow run, and I do myself. I can't really throw no rocks here, and I most time don't. But I try to drive just a little bit above the speed limit.
Yeah.
I went home 57 yesterday thinking, surely to God, they'll let me go at 57. But I have people passing me running 80 and 90. All the time. And this verse talks about, you know, we'd rather do anything than obey the laws.
Right.
And God's laws are good. They're simple. I mean, he's not really a, a burden bearer. He's a burden taker. But, you know, man, just any way but God's way. I was one of them. I mean, you had to drag me any direction towards God. Verse 14, the latter part of it. He soweth discord. Discord is like discredit, division. Yeah, but. I mean, you know, discord is in a lot of discouragement. I was one of them. You know, I called people going to church a bunch of hypocrites. You know, I was better than they was, or just as good as they was, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That discord, it discourages. It causes people, you know, to, yeah, you're right. I'm going to get out of church. I'm going to quit going to church and all that right there. That discord, you know, that, we'll get on that here in just a second here. But God's already saying that man, he's got forwardness in his heart. He's got mischief in his heart. He's got discord in his heart.
Yeah.
The verse above it, he winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his finger. Man, just seems like he knows so much. I was telling Brother Ed, Sister Sharon, that today's October the 6th. We're teaching out of Proverbs chapter 6. And we're getting ready to get the six things the Lord hates. I guess this will be a 666 Sunday school lesson. I don't know. But praise God for the rain. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This morning.
Yeah. It says, verse 15, therefore shall his calamity, that's kind of like trouble, come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Now you can see this kind of repeated in Proverbs 29. And you know, this is true by a lot of people. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. All through this Bible you see God warning people. And here according to this verse 29, verse 1 of chapter 29, here's a man that's really been reproved. Maybe the first time, maybe he did listen. But then he just kept right on walking.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that. I've heard that all my life. And there is a line out there. I heard a preacher preach one time called God's Deadline. Ananias and Sapphira, can elaborate on it.
Yeah.
There is a point where God will say, enough. Mm-hmm. To the saved, God will say, bring them home.
Yeah.
You can see that represented there in Romans chapter 6, verse 1.
Yeah.
Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we live any longer therein? You know, I've got eternal life, but I may not live here eternally. I might be here today and gone today, just depending on what I do concerning God, because in Him I live and move and have my being. The big deal right now is mental illness.
Yeah.
And they don't want to put God in that equation.
No.
You know, I'm mentally sane. I thank God that I am.
Yeah.
But I'm also willing to acknowledge that in Him I live and move and have my being. And I see people, and they're stubborn as a mule. I'll tell you right now, they'll do anything except let God lead in their life. They'll do anything except live for the Lord. And the Bible said, he that been often reproved hardened his neck. Y'all ever met any of them?
Yeah.
Walk away while you're talking to him.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Been there and done it myself.
And then when the storm does come, look at verse 15. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Mm-hmm. When the storm does come, when cancer comes, why did God allow this? I thought God was a God of love. Oh, how quickly. And we'll speak a little bit about this preaching today. How quickly does the blame go to God?
Yes,
mm-hmm. And God warns, welcomes, waits. Here we say, now it's my life. I'm going to live it however I want to. I'm going to do what I want to, when I want to. Mm-hmm. And who is that God's going to interrupt me? You remember Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Yeah. See, he's sitting on his throne. Most people kind of like that.
Yeah.
Sit on their throne, and here comes Moses and Aaron, and thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And Pharaoh sitting on his throne, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? I tell you right now, you'll find out the hard way, or you'll find out God's way. You'll find out the way of love, who God is, or you'll find out the way of judgment that God is able. Buddy, I'm telling you right now, when it says every knee will bow, that's not optional. When it says every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, that's not optional. That means Osama bin Laden has already bowed his Muslim knee to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That means Osama bin Laden has already professed that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's no exceptions. I mean, Stalin has, Hitler has, no matter how big, how bad, no matter how rich, how famous, all the Hollywood stars, when they fall, they find out they wasn't that tall.
That's right.
But anyway, therefore shall this calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall it be broken without remedy. Praise God, I tell you right now, I've been bragging on the Sunday school class. I said, I've got one, but it's faithful. Looks like picking up. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And they always ask me, how many did you have in Sunday school? And I say, I'm proud to report I had two. I'd say, now I had three. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, there's no little works of God. There's just some bigger than others, but all works of God are great works. Amen. Well, Brother Mitchell, I've done told this. I'll tell you, this is October the 6th.
Right.
We're teaching out of Proverbs chapter 6, and we're getting ready to mention six things that the Lord hates. I guess you could call this a 666 Sunday school lesson this morning. Verse 16 says, these six things do the Lord hate. You mean God hates some things?
Yeah.
I believe.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I'm right. Psalm 7, 17, 14. Psalm 7, I quote the verse. The Lord's angry with the wicked every day. You mean God gets mad? He said He did. Let me see here. I want to get this right.
Amen.
That's Psalm 7, verse 11. It says God is angry with the wicked every day.
Yeah.
So when it says there's six things do the Lord hate, there's something God hates.
That's right.
He hates sin. He loves the sinner.
He does.
But He hates sin. Why does He hate sin? Because He's seen the end product. I preached last Sunday. Oh, it's not worth it. Sin,
it
finishes in the form of death. Mm-hmm. Sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. I'm not going to sleep in a bed full of venomous snakes or spiders or anything else. I'm going to sleep filling my head saying, Lord, I'm filling my head. You watch, I'll wait. I'll see you in the morning. I'll tell you right now, but I don't worry about nothing. I fill my head in the mercy and peace and grace of God, and I sleep like a baby, wake up the next morning, salute heaven, say, I need You today, Lord, to walk with me and help me during life's journey. I don't know what a day is going to bring. None of us do. I just know, praise God, He's bigger than anything. You know, you can kind of sum up Job like this right here. God has a say in everything that comes our way.
Yeah, that's right.
The devil wanted Job, but he had to ask for permission.
Mm-hmm.
God granted the permission just so we can know what Job was made out of. We've never known how great Job was without the sore trial that he went through. And Job, the man that said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job, the man that said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Job, the man that said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at the latter day He'll stand upon this earth. And he said, in my flesh I'll see God. I'm telling you, Job was the man that God could recommend. Hey man, I wish we all had that kind of recommendation. But there's six things that God hates. It names them for me. Matter of fact, it says seven are an abomination to Him. And in just a second, we'll count these, and seven are mentioned. The first thing God hates is a proud look. And I tell you what, that gay pride stuff's enough right there to turn my stomach.
Yeah, that's right.
I ain't proud of nothing to do with that.
Nope.
I feel sorry for that bunch. Going to have to learn the hard way.
That's right.
You know, Brother Mitchell, they passed laws, and I read this a little bit before y'all got here, Brother Ed. They made a threat to this country February the 15th, 1987. The gay agenda, talking about how they sodomize our children in the schools and how they raise up, judges and
right.
Top political leaders to to endorse and condone their sexual lifestyle, their abomination. And you know what? When they announced all that right there, when America didn't stand up and say over my dead body, I guess they thought, well, I guess they turned it over to us. Yeah. But I tell you right now, God's got the final say. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. And that verse says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It ain't over with yet. And I know they've got us hogtied with the laws and politicians and all that. And I know they're able to bind us. Lawfully abiding citizens are able to bind us through legislation, laws. I understand all that. I'll tell you what, buddy. I also know they're going to pay a price for it.
That's right.
God hates a proud look.
That's right.
You know, I thank God for the day I raised my little white flag of surrender up and I humbled myself before God Almighty.
That's right.
And I said, I'm sorry. And I've been a sinner. I know you died for me. I know you won't forgive me. And I'm asking you right now that you do that. You know, God loves a humble heart. But I'll tell you right now, He resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. And this proud look, this country, America, has got a problem right now, even with pride. And you know what? They're promoting pride. And one day, I tell you what, those that walk in pride, Nebuchadnezzar said, God's able to abase. One day they're going to realize, I personally believe, and I can't take the Bible and prove this, but I personally believe that when those twin tires fail in 2001, September 9/11, I do believe that was a writing on the wall to America that God had declared that He had took the hedge down and we were now vulnerable to our enemies. And I tell you right now, for just a second, this nation trembled. For just a second, this country had chaos. People were getting in all kind of traffic jams trying to get to church. It may not have lasted long, but God got the attention of America when it was on the TV screens. Two big buildings, 3,000 souls were lost. And you know what? He showed right there that this nation ain't too big for God to bring down. God says a proud look, a lying tongue. Now, Jesus talked about that lying tongue. He said the devil's a liar and a father of it.
Right.
And you know what? No lies are the truth. And we've got people today trying to peddle a bunch of lies and saying it's true. You know, Satan brought Adam and Eve down. Just changed one word.
Yeah.
God said, thou shalt surely die. And all the devil said, thou shalt not surely die. Which one's right, God or the devil? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, by one man, death came in the world.
Right.
So evidently that lie didn't overthrow the truth mm-hmm. of the Word of God. Now, God did come down. For what it's worth, man started out hiding. Mm-hmm. For what it's worth, it's going to finish up men hiding. Read Revelation chapter 6. The kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth, they're going to cry out, hide us from the face of Him to come. For His day has come, His wrath has come down upon us. And they will cry from the rocks and mount to hide them from his presence. There ain't going to be no hiding place. I'm glad, praise God, I've got one. My sins are healed on the blood. I'm glad I've got a refuge. I'm glad, praise God, I've got safety. When all this hits, the world's going to, they're going to have a nervous breakdown. They're going to wish they could find a hiding place. And even though I made a mess of trying to quote that, I'm going to just plain old read it, amen. In Revelation chapter number 6, verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, verse 16 of Revelation chapter 6, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The laughter's over.
Right. That's right.
Just like Adam hid himself.
That's right.
There wasn't no hiding place. That lying tongue Bible talks about some made for refuge lies. The truth. Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth. And I tell you what, there ain't no way around it. It's either lie or truth. Mm-hmm. You believe a lie? Amen. And I tell you right now, one day you'll realize you was wrong. But God hates the people that follow a lie. God hates people that promote a lie, that peddle a lie. And He hates pride. And not only that, He said He hates the hands that shed innocent blood. I'm not going to mince my words right here. I'm going to be very clear. An abortionist just died.
That's right.
They found 2,245 feces in his house. Babies had been aborted.
Yeah.
They also found out that he performed an abortion upon a 10-year-old girl, and he didn't report it, but he delivered her back to the monster that was abusing her. Mm-hmm. Now, all this bunch is crying out, you know, woman's rights, woman's rights, woman's rights. Just what are we supporting when you hear about that? I mean, you know,
Amen.
The door, it's out of the closet now.
Yeah.
You see the really hideous thing about abortion. It's not a woman's right. When I think about innocent blood, I can't think about anything more innocent than a baby.
That's right.
I believe it's Psalms 127, verse 3. Children are heritage from the Lord.
Yeah.
The fruit of the womb is His reward. So we're going to take God's children. Now, I do this a lot. I'll see a young lady with a baby. And I'll go up to her, Sharon, I'll say, take 50 cents for it. She'll say, no, it ain't worth that. I said, well, I'll give a dollar right now. She said, no, I better not. I said, you know, they quit carrying them at Walmart. You can't get them there no more. Mm-hmm. And she'll always smile or get blushed, get red-faced, whatever. But children are heritage from the Lord.
That's right.
That little baby in that womb, Brother Mitchell, it's as innocent as innocent could be.
Right.
And just like Herod, that made an effort to kill Christ, kill all the children from 2 years old and down, just cut them into shreds. You know, that spirit of Antichrist still goes on today. I understand that it's the Antichrist spirit that promotes killing a little innocent babies. I understand maybe he's afraid Christ's going to come again in the womb of a virgin. I don't know the Antichrist motive. I just know that these babies are innocent. And God hates hands that shed innocent blood. If you listen to much news, and I probably listen too much, but just this week, listening to Crosstalk, they mentioned about a woman in a hospital. She didn't want an abortion. But they made a mistake and got her room mixed up with another woman's room. And they come and got her and aborted her baby. And she didn't want an abortion. She wanted to have her baby. They fired the doctor and the nurse. I love one thing. If I was her buddy, I'd own everything they got.
That's right.
But not only did they abort her baby, but they done some serious injury to her baby. And she said, why am I still suffering? And they said, you've been through an abortion. She said, what do you mean I've been through an abortion? And they got her mixed up with another woman. But they're quick to shed innocent blood. They don't even put any research to make sure you're getting the right person. I mean, I understand you know, people make mistakes every day, but she didn't come for an abortion. She came for an examination to see how her baby was doing. Right. They got her mixed up with another woman that wanted an abortion. And these hands that shed this innocent blood, they didn't take no second thought to what they was going to do or what they did. They're in a hurry to get this thing done.
Right.
You know, America, I don't know if I can even find this verse or not, but America's in big time trouble just over this one subject of abortion. It's kind of funny that God said about Manasseh, this is unusual for God to say this, Manasseh, the Bible said, he shed innocent blood very much, whom the Lord would not pardon.
Right.
That's quite a statement, knowing that God abundantly pardons, that God looks for reasons to pardon. And yet with Manasseh, God said he would not pardon the shedding of that innocent blood. Said he shed innocent blood very much. I've heard this, and my pastor just mentioned it. I heard that they just slit the throat of little babies.
Yeah.
I heard it. I don't know. They said they just, you know, just mercifully slit the throat of little babies and kind of made fun of them dying, you know. But that sin of Manasseh, I don't know if I can find that or not. Let me see if I can here. God wouldn't forgive that sin. Here in America, it is worse than Manasseh ever thought about being.
Right, that's right.
And we don't want to admit. We don't want to talk about it. We just want to somehow put our head in the sand, I guess. Well, I don't think this concordance is going to help me here. But on the kings of Israel, one of them name was Manasseh, and he shed innocent blood very much, whom the Lord would not pardon. We'll pass on that. Hands that shed innocent blood. I heard this week, again, on the radio, that a man walked up behind another man, squirted a line of fluid on him, and set him on fire, and laughed as he burned to death. See what I'm talking about? People just don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about your life. They'll take your life, take your money, won't think twice about doing it. But God hates it.
Right.
God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now, I could go on and on about wicked imaginations. The Bible says the carnal mind's at enmity with God. Mm-hmm. The friendship of this world is enmity with God. But the wicked imagine things like, you know, that God's not real. It's amazing that James chapter 2 verse 19 says the devils believe in God and tremble. And the devils are considered to be dumb. And yet people, even though the devils believe in God and tremble, people don't want to take into any kind of consideration at all that one day they're going to stand before God. So they make jokes about God. They mock God. It's amazing. God kind of makes fun of them a little bit in Proverbs chapter 1. Starting in verse 22, how long you simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorning, fools delight in knowledge. They just turn down every opportunity to come to know God as personal Lord and Savior. But that heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. You know, Jesus talked about a good man out of a good treasured heart bringing forth good things.
Yeah.
And an evil man out of an evil heart bringing forth evil things. That wickedness in that heart. I believe it's Jeremiah talks about the heart's wicked, deceitful. Let me see if I can find that real quick here. Heart's wicked and deceitful above all things. Lordy, lordy. I didn't have no idea I was going to go as far into this lesson this morning. Bear with me here just a second here. This is my new Bible. I ain't got it marked up like my old one. So I have to find this. But the heart's wicked and deceitful above all things. Thank God for my good old Schofield Bible. At least I know where it's at on the page. The heart's deceitful above all things, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, and desperately wicked, who can know it? Next verse, I the Lord search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows the thoughts of our heart.
Right.
Matter of fact, if you look, Lord just keeps giving me liberty here. I can't believe this. Genesis chapter 6. We'll take another look. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Yeah.
And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. That's quite a bit to go along with a heart that desireth, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination.
Yeah.
God hates that. You know what will help a heart that devises wicked imagination? Spend a little time in the Word of God. I have to admit, my heart wasn't necessarily where it needed to be. And the first year I read my Bible through Brother Ed, I spent that whole year down on my knees. I'm sorry. I already knew I was sorry. Yeah. I just didn't know how sorry I was. But as I looked at myself in God's mirror, I've been looking in my mirror, and I realized I wasn't that debonair and handsome all along. But as I looked at myself in God's mirror, I realized just, boy, how depraved I was. Man, all the things that I had conceived in my heart and all the things that I had acted upon, and God didn't send me a bolt of lightning. He responded, instead of lightning, He responded with love and forbearance and put up with me till April 27th, 1988, and then allowed me to be saved, to become a son of God. Hey, boy, I tell you what, that overwhelmed me. It kept me, I tell you what, going for a long time. Just to imagine how much God put up with me just to have one day to be able to say you're forgiven, go in peace. Boy, that heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. You know these policemen today, they can't hardly do their job.
No, they can't.
Hey, good morning, Sister Carolyn. Sister Karen. Policemen today, they're constantly running criminals down.
That's right.
And of course the criminal jumps out. I know my rights, he ain't got no right. Only rights he's got is those Miranda rights. That's what Miranda told me. I remember her name. She said, just remember them Miranda rights. Well, that's all they've got. Right to remain silent. And they should have.
Yeah.
They should have heard that right.
Amen.
Are you trying to catch something, Carol?
Yes, I am. I'm tired of Kleenex boxes chewed on.
You do. Well, anyway, these policemen are constantly. Does anybody remember what a policeman is? He's a law enforcer.
That's right.
So as they're trying to enforce the law, these criminals are trying to outrun the law, of the law. And there's always a conflict, always a controversy. Most time the policeman's the one gets put on trial. It really did bother me that policewoman got mixed up, which apartment was hers, and she actually entered into someone else's apartment, and there was a black man in there, and mistakenly she shot him and killed him and didn't realize what she'd done. Now those things do happen. I don't think she went to that apartment with intention to kill an innocent man.
No.
Right. It does happen. I understand that. People make mistakes. But I will tell you this. I admire the mercy that they showed her. The man's brother come gave her a hug. The judge come down from the bench and gave her a Bible. Matter of fact, the ACLU is trying to get that judge removed from the bench. They said that they overstepped their boundaries as a judge. But, she gave this woman a Bible. And the man that was the man's brother, he said, Jesus will forgive you. He said, I forgive you. And he said, I'm looking forward to the day that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's probably the reason that he made that statement. I don't know how this woman acted in court, but I will tell you this. She didn't intentionally go to this apartment to shoot a man.
No.
It was a case of mistaken identity with which apartment she was in. And it was a case of mistaken identity about the man that was in the apartment. She was in his apartment. But anyway, feet that be swift in running to mischief. The Bible says that mischief's bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction, see? The rod of correction got it far from him. My mom, my dad, they got through my thick head. I got tired of picking myself by the floor, Brother Mitchell. It wasn't too long, I remember saying, what was that you said? Because it was a whole lot easier to just do it than it was getting.
That's right.
They either get slapped or spanked or knocked down or whatever. They knew whatever it took, they was willing to get it right then, right there. And I knew that they would.
And that helped me a lot. It molded my character.
Yeah.
I still know the meaning of the word no.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I didn't step back and say, you can't tell me what to do. I'm glad I still got some high left on me. I can imagine telling my mama, you can't tell me what to do. I can imagine telling my dad. One thing my mama, she used the resources that were available. When I got a little bigger, you know what she'd say, Brother Mitchell? She'd say, I'm going to tell your daddy when he gets home.
Yeah, right.
But I'll tell you right now, but I'll be good. I'll be good. Right. I'm sorry, Mama. What was that you want me to do? I'm ready. What? Is there anything else I can do?
Yeah.
But you see that mischief. If it's not done, when a child, how soon should you start, Brother Eddie? Oh, I watched them in church in diapers.
Right.
I'm all they do, just a little tap.
Right.
Just to let the child know that you're not doing that.
That's right.
And I mean, you don't have to take them and beat them, but that mischief that's in the heart of that child, God said, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, God also said, a child left to its own will bring its mother shame. So you can either have one or the other.
That's right.
Or you can have a child that's obedient, or you can have a child that'll bring you shame. And I'll tell you right now, his feet will be swift to run to mischief. Or her feet will be swift to run to mischief. But you got to get through. Child rearing, I don't know if it even goes on today or not. I told you, I was pulling out some other day in a car coming by, and there was a 6-year-old in the back with a smartphone going.
Yeah. Right. I seen that yesterday.
And I'm sitting there thinking, hey, I know the mother was driving the car, I understand that, but a 6-year-old don't need one of them.
No.
You know, I thank God for Disney movies. I learned a lot about virtue and learned a lot about doing right. One thing about Walt Disney, he put it on the screen the right way. He showed some things were wrong and the price for the wrong, and he showed some things was right and the reward for doing right. And it did promote a lot of virtue with me. I guess right now is as good a time as any. Oh, if I could be discreet here. I've been married twice. My first wife's dead. You know why I married her? I thought I was doing right. I didn't love her. Actually, I was doing like what the prince does, you know, to the damsel in distress. I married her for all the wrong reasons. It didn't even last a year. My mom, my dad tried to tell me, when you go to work, all your buddies up there drinking your beer, sleeping your wife. You know what I told them, Brother Jerry? Stay out of my life. Quit meddling in my home. I got off work early one night. Nobody need to tell me. I opened the front door. They went flying out the back door. My little girl was in the bathtub with the bathroom door shut. Another guy was in bed with my wife. Nobody had to tell me no more.
That's right.
Now, you can say whatever you want to about that, but I'll tell you this. I've been married to my wife now 44 years. I married that woman for all the wrong reasons. I don't even know that baby's mine. I don't. But I'll tell you what, I thought I was stepping up to the plate because of virtue.
Right.
I might have done wrong.
Right.
I don't regret it.
Amen. Bless you.
I know it's been thrown up at me a lot.
Bless you, God.
But I will tell you this, I won't deny it.
Right.
And I have been married to Miss Dottie Wade for 44 wonderful years. Prayed for her this morning. Thank God for her putting up with me for 44 years.
That's right.
My daughter right now, of that marriage, is in Hopkinsville Mental Hospital right now. I don't know that she's ever going to get her mind back. I do know this, she's saved. I know that. She got saved when she was 18 years old.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, it's important to stay in church. It really
is. Yes,
it
is. Amen.
You know the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed. Right. Until the day of redemption. I'm still here. I'm not in heaven yet. One of these days I'm getting out of here, Karen, going home.
That's right.
Until then, I don't need to be grieving the Holy Spirit. My daughter, she even asked me herself one day if I thought a Christian could be possessed by a devil. And I said, well, honey, I guess if you gave your place to, I guess you could move in. I don't know. But anyway, She started going downhill from the time she asked me that question. Right now, she remains. She spent all last month up there. She's been up there now over, I guess over a week. I've done the best I could. I just want to tell you. I've done the best I could. Like I said, virtue was one reason I married that woman. It might not have been the right thing. I done the best I could. Well, that heart, our heart, it's got to be ministered to. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be ministered to with light. Oh, speaking of light.
Let there be light.
Get these a real king for $2. I couldn't have. I bought a whole sack full of them. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. Hang that on the wall. Look here.
Amen.
I got a sack full of them. Anyway, it's either going to be a ministry of light or it's going to be a minister of darkness. Right. How can you know the difference, Brother Eddie? Well, here's a good example right here of the opposite of light.
Yeah.
Here's a man here, he got a shirt on, a satanic shirt on, and he says, "My search for peace." On the back is a picture of him after he found peace. He's a street minister in Dover, Ohio. And he found peace after he finally got to the end of his rope, but he wasn't seeking light. He was living in darkness. He was feeding his heart with darkness instead of light. And anyway, somebody didn't train up this child in the way he should go. When he's older, not depart, but he did get saved. But feet that be swift to run into mischief. Wouldn't it be something if people was in a hurry to get to church?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be something? I mean, I hide the plane 2 or 3 times coming this morning. I hadn't seen it rain so long. I forgot how to drive in the rain. I forgot about dodging them rain puddles, you know. But anyway, I was still in a hurry to get to church. But, you know, people, they're not in a hurry to get to church today. They're in a hurry to run to mischief. They'll go anywhere but to the house of God.
Right.
Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies. God hates a liar.
Yes.
And Jesus, they accused him in John chapter 8. They accused him of lying. And they'll accuse you too.
Oh, yeah.
You can count on that. But when they did, he just fired back. And he said, if God was your father, he said, you'd love me. That kind of got him, I guess. I don't know. But they said, they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said, if God was your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar, and the father of it. Now, I'll tell you right now, he didn't mention his words right there in John chapter 8, verse 42 through 44. He went on to say, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinced of me of sin? But wouldn't that be something if they could come up and say, I know something you did. He said, okay, let's hear it, boy.
That's right.
Yeah, he said, which of you, don't y'all try this. Which of you convinced of me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that's of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now that's pretty blunt. And you know them Jews, they didn't care too much for that. But you know God here, he hates a false witness.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Lord couldn't deny who he was. He couldn't deny where he proceeded from. He couldn't deny the mission that he was on down here. But these false witnesses, they accused him of being of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They accused him of being a fornicator. They accused him of this. They accused him of that. They'll accuse you. A false witness.
You know, we got this thing now called fake news, and it is fake. Boy, you better have the discernment when it comes to watching the news. I hope you can sort it out.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of seeds in there. Yeah, they're bad seeds too. But anyway, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Mm-hmm. Now, discord is like I said earlier, it's like division. The Bible says a house divided, it cannot stand.
Right, that's right.
Now, Jesus said to Peter, when the Lord said, "Who say ye that man that I am?" Some said John the Baptist, and some said Elias. And Jesus said, "But who say ye that I am?" And Peter jumped up. I don't know where. He must have somehow woke up, probably sitting back here about half asleep. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed be thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for this proceeded not from flesh, but my Father revealed it unto thee." And he said, "On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it."
Amen.
But I want you to know, Peter, somehow truth come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And the Lord told him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." And you know, the Lord, he don't want his house divided. There's only one foundation.
Amen.
There's no other name given among men.
Right.
Acts 4:12. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth. No one comes to the Father but by me." John 14:16.
Right.
And then you got somebody who says,
"Amen."
Well, you know, we just do things a little differently.
Mm,
well,
right.
God said he hates people that sow discord among the brethren.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of people, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, by the way, Karen, this is October the 6th. We're teaching out of Proverbs chapter 6 about six things the Lord hates. That's 666.
Right.
While I'm on that note, John 6:66, saddest verse in the Bible. "From that day many of his disciples left him and followed him no more." I'll tell you what, buddy, ain't nothing good about that number 666. My son just started a new job, and he told me, he said, "Dad, the first product I made," he said, "I looked on it," and he said, "the serial number on it was 666. He said, "I wanted to leave right then." I said, "Son, that's just a number. At least it ain't on your forehead or on your hand."
Right.
And you know what? I don't deny that he's talking about, you know, a little bit of reservation. That I understand that. But look, he that soweth discord among brethren, that last word, brethren. Look, I understand we all got opinions, and they're kind of like armpits. Everybody's got a couple, most of them stink. There's only one Bible. Somebody said, "Well, y'all are King James only." Look, if you can't understand why I'm a King James Bible preacher, you can't understand God.
Right, right.
If God wasn't big enough to give me his word, I couldn't preach the word.
Yeah, right.
I couldn't be instant in season, out of season. I couldn't reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I couldn't do it. So God had to call me, and then God had to give me something to preach.
Right.
He gave me his word, and he gives me messages from his word. Jesus said the Holy Spirit won't bear witness with nothing but truth. And these guys out there, I realize, you know, they get their messages somewhere else. I don't know. I remember one time a man asked me where I got that message from, and I said, "The Holy Ghost." "No," he said, "where'd you get that outline?" I said, "The Holy Ghost." I didn't know there was any other place to get them. As my pastor. But I don't know. I mean that in a nice way. But I preached about Job where he said, "I looked to the left hand and to the right hand." And he said, "Oh, that I might find him." I talk about getting loose in touch with God. You know, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you wonder where God is, and even though he's right there, not very far from any one of us, you can't find him, even though he is right there. But anyway, that message, I got it from the Lord. It received from God. I'm just a messenger boy. I delivered it. I can't explain. I don't even really understand it myself. But I will tell you this. I can't preach God's word if I don't have it. You see
right,
what I mean?
Right, that's exactly
now,
right.
Now, Sharon could come up to me, and she's saying, "Now, Brother Eddie, I got one of these newfangled translations." And she'd say, "Brother Eddie, this will take you a little further." And I say, "Sharon, will that good old King James Bible get me to heaven?" She said, "Yeah, but this will take you a little further." I say, "Sharon, I'm getting off right there. I don't get any further than that." But you know what? He that soweth discord among the brethren, it causes controversy. It causes confusion. Who's not the author of the confusion?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. God's not the author of the confusion.
No.
I'm not confused about which Bible. I was when I first got saved.
Yeah.
Man, my wife bought me about 15 Bibles, Brother Mitchell. No lie. Where's my life? When I read those other Bibles, there wasn't none of this right here.
That's right.
And somebody said to Brenda, we're teaching Sunday school. Somebody come to me and said, Brother Eddie, you didn't get your King James Bible. And open up that King James Bible. And a light came on. I got this real King. I guess I'm using it for illustration. Using it for illustration this morning.
That's right.
And I will say this, I never had light, even though I say, reading a Bible until I got a King James Bible.
Amen.
And the light came on.
Right.
Amen. Morning, Becky. Brenda. We're teaching Sunday school this morning. We're October the 6th. We're teaching out of Proverbs chapter 6 about six things that the Lord hates. We're on that 666 Sunday school lesson. But anyway, I'm trying to throw a little humor in there. But that light right there. God gives us light, and He wants us to have light. But you got this bunch down here that are trying to sow discord among the brethren. We're going to stop right there. We'll stop right there. If you'll count them, you'll notice it says there are six things. These six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to Him.
Yeah.
If you'll count them, there are seven mentioned right there in those three verses.
Amen.
And we'll stop right there.